Let me stop you for a sec. Let me ask you a couple questions in between.
Sure.
Can I
Sorry.
do that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a talker. I'm sorry.
That's what we love. We love talkers.
From Recorded Future News, I'm Dina Temple-Rest, and this is Click Here's Mic Drop, an extended cut of an interview we did that we think you might want to hear a little more of. Today, we're talking to Analyst One's John DiMaggio about something we found pretty crazy, a dark web court for hackers. Someone didn't pay you? Some agreement go awry?
Don't take the law into your own hands. You take them to court.
We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Adam Fleming from the Global Story podcast from the BBC World Service. We are looking at Lina Khan, the face of the US government's battle to regulate big tech. She's already redefined the way we talk about monopolies. Now she's taking on the likes of Amazon and Meta. But who is she, and will she win? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Blockchain, NFTs, AI. What does this mean for you and me? I'm Sherelle Dorsey, host of the TED Tech Podcast, where we bring you the latest innovations and biggest ideas in tech. Tech is evolving fast and it affects our lives, from the metaverse to the watches on our wrists. You'll learn why people in AI make good business partners, about our future self-driving robo-taxi, what the next generation of Siri, Alexa, Google looks like, and a lot more. Find TED Tech on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
I'm Dina Temple-Rest, and this is Click Here's Mic Drop.
So let me just start with the easy one. Could you introduce yourself to us, please?
Sure. I'm John DiMaggio. I'm the Chief Security Strategist at Analyst One.
It's a threat intelligence company in Virginia. And John is known for a lot of things, but recently probably best known for something called the Ransomware Diaries. It's a kind of multi-volume set of reports about the time he spent lurking in hacker chat rooms and inside Lockbit, which is one of the world's most notorious ransomware gangs.
I've talked to Lockbit for a long time, the leader of Lockbit.
Lockbit SUP. It's short for Lockbit Support. And he was one of the administrators of the group for years, although now he's thought to be in charge of the gang. Which isn't much of a gang anymore, at least hasn't been since February.
Today we can announce that the National Crime Agency has successfully infiltrated and fundamentally disrupted Lockbit.
We talked to Lockbit about all that in our last episode.
We have hacked the hackers.
The operation had John punching the air.
It's been years of work where we haven't had a lot of wins. So it felt amazing. It felt really good. I went out to dinner that night. I had a glass of really expensive bourbon. I mean, it was a nice night.
But then John noticed something he hadn't expected. It wasn't only law enforcement that was punching the air. People in the dark web were too.
When he went down, a lot of criminals took joy in that, and there was a lot of trash talking and what almost seemed to be a bit of a celebration.
It turns out, just a few weeks before Operation Kronos seized Lockbit's infrastructure, Lockbit SUP was in arbitration in the inner recesses of the dark web.
What you are witnessing is real.
That some experts have compared to
the People's Court,
but for hackers. Sounds a little off-brand, I know. But if you think about it, even hackers in the dark web running criminal enterprises need to abide by some basic rules. Like, if you do work for someone and they promise to pay you, they should do so. a kind of honor among thieves thing. John says over the years, hackers have adopted a process to make sure that the basic rules of the criminal world get followed.
They have a court system. One party will go in and post a claim of how they were wronged, and the other party will then be contacted and have the ability to show their side.
And according to a report published by Analyst One, literally dozens of complaints go through an arbitration process every day. The proceedings are held in these sort of virtual courtrooms, convened inside some of the most established Russian-speaking discussion forums. And some of them have been around
for over 20 years. So they're sort of coveted as the place to go, and you grow in rank and reputation as you spend time there and talk and have criminal activities where people buy into what you're doing.
So these forums, with names like XSS and Exploit, actually serve two functions. People buy and sell services there. Someone might be selling access to a network. Someone else might have hacking tools. But if one of these deals between them goes south, there's a way to make things right. Hackers can file grievances and present evidence.
That could be communication logs, that could be database logs, that could be victim negotiation logs, whatever it might be. They can post all of that and they share it.
Other people on the forum can also weigh in, though they're more like a peanut gallery than a jury. And then it all goes to a kind of hacker version of a judge.
There's like a judge who's an administrator, a senior administrator of a forum, who's supposed to have this unbiased assessment of it and then award a winner of the case.
And just like a real court, after a verdict, there are damages assessed, usually in the range of $100 to a few thousand dollars.
Once that award is determined, whatever they determine needs to be paid out must be paid.
And if you don't,
if you do not pay, you are banned from the forum. What's even more crazy about all of this is the other Russian forums follow suit.
And just to make sure everyone knows who refused to respect the court's judgment and didn't pay their fine, they're marked as
a ripper, but it basically means scammer, which is sort of like a disgrace in that community.
This is what happened to LockbitSup in January. Only it wasn't a matter of just a couple of $1,000.
Allegedly, there was a $10 million payout.
LockbitSup was planning a ransomware attack, but first he needed to get into the victim's network. So he partnered with someone who had access to that network.
And they started to discuss payment.
The broker, John says, wanted to be paid up front, before LockBit executed the attack. The only problem was
LockBit doesn't work that way, so he told him, no, you'll get paid once we have results and victims begin to pay. So the access broker essentially said okay, gave him access, provided that access essentially for free, believing that he would get paid after the fact.
But allegedly, when the $10 million ransom payment eventually came through, the access broker asked for nearly half the money.
$4 million. That's what he felt his cut was of that $10 million. And of course, LockBit felt that was a ridiculous amount. We didn't agree to that up front. I told you I'd pay you, but it won't be anywhere near close to that.
So the access broker took LockbitSup to hacker court and won.
And I guess the judge decided that $4 million was the right amount that this access broker should have?
They did.
And then LockbitSup did the one thing that you're really not supposed to do. He ignored the court's decision.
LockBit now said he refused to pay them anything because by initiating that case, they made their whole dispute public, or at least public to these anyone who has access to these forums, and reporters ended up hearing about it, and it was, you know, widespread news. That's sort of a sin amongst criminals, is to put your information out there publicly. So if that hadn't happened, he claimed that he would have paid him something, but because he did that, that sort of made him like a rat.
It was the principle of the thing.
It was the principal. 100% was the principal. Yes, that's correct. It was the principal.
LockbitSup was banned from two of the major Russian-speaking forums, and he was marked with this kind of hacker's scarlet letter.
It is now ordered that you shall wear upon your bosom for the rest of your natural life the scarlet letter A.
But the sort of surprising thing is that, for once, John says LockbitSup may have been in the right.
I mean, these guys are all unethical. You're all criminals. No one's going to feel bad for you. But if you just look at it from a business and a legal aspect, you can't expect someone to come in after the fact and ask for a ton of money for something that they gave you for free and just had crazy expectations.
John thinks that if Lockbit's sub case had gone to real court instead of the hacker court, things might have turned out a little differently.
You know, I've heard both sides. I've looked at the evidence. It's rare that I agree with Lockbit, but, you know, I try to be unbiased in my work. I follow the evidence. I do analysis. I don't put my own judgment in it. And everything I could see was, I was thinking about it, how we would handle things here in the U.S. And if you had two parties and you never agreed on a price, and then you gave the person whatever they were selling, whatever you're selling for free, and then expected a specific amount after the thing was used or whatever, well, there's, of course, there's going to be arguments and disagreements on how much that was, especially when you're asking for a large amount.
They should have signed a contract.
Absolutely. They should have. And if they had put, no, but seriously, if they put this in writing and you went to this arbitration thing, it would have made this a lot cleaner. And I don't think at that point Lockbit would have had as much of a problem arguing back. But that's the thing, is there was no agreement. There was only arguments.
We talked to Lockbit Sup by encrypted message a few weeks ago, and he told us a version of events that was pretty close to John's. He said he took that same case to other forums, and they sided with him. So it was kind of a split decision. From Recorded Future News, this has been Mic Drop. It was produced by Sean Powers and Kat Shooknecht. I'm Dina Temple-Raston. We'll be back on Tuesday with an all-new episode of Click Here. Have a great weekend.
Looking for more of the cybersecurity and intelligence coverage you get on Click Here? Then check out our sister publication, The Record, from Recorded Future News. You'll get breaking cyber news from reporters in New York, Washington, London, and Kyiv, among others. And you'll see for yourself why it attracts hundreds of thousands of page views every month. Just go to therecord.media.